that you have such a good track record for making it through all your crappy days. You know, for all the crappy days, you've made through 100% of them.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah, that's really smart.
That's very deep, isn't it?
Man.
That was deep.
Yep. That was good. I like that. I'm writing that down.
Hi there, and welcome to this, the 7th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, this is our first podcast. You can hear the birds singing out behind us because we actually are sitting on our patio recording. And I think these birds sound fake.
But they're not.
They're not.
They're real.
It's so fun. I mean, just that it's perfectly warm, cool, all at the same time, sunny.
And so ready for the summer.
Summer just blowing open, and here we go with this. And today, what we're going to talk about is moments of joy. I think, you know, a lot of things when we're talking about multiple sclerosis, there's going to be a lot of downtime or a lot of things where things aren't going right. That doesn't mean happiness is gone. So we'll talk about moments of joy. But before we get into that, as always, today, are socially distant and not fully masked because we're outside.
But Ryan is fully vaxxed.
Ryan is fully vaxxed, and he is our producer. And
still semi-socially distant.
Semi-socially distant, but we're outside, and I don't know if that's like necessarily under CDC guidelines, but just that we're outside, you're fully vaxxed, I'm halfway there.
Well, according to the CDC, you can go in a store without a mask on if you're fully vaxxed. I don't, but you can.
With you being fully vaxxed, and I will be there, it's just like, what kind of precautions do you take now? And you don't go into stores not masked?
Nope, always wear a mask. If I'm around other people, especially people I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still, and because Dan, I do the majority of our grocery shopping for our household.
Yes.
I'm still wearing a mask, as is my caregiver. She comes into our house not wearing a mask. She also is fully vaccinated, but we wear masks, and I will continue to do so because people still like to invade your personal space. They don't do it necessarily like, oh, let me get into your space.
He's a bit of a close talker.
Yes, exactly. It just happens. And I don't want to say the anonymity, because I'm in a wheelchair, so you can tell pretty much who I am. But I can wear my mask, and if I make like a obnoxious face, nobody can see it. Let's be honest, that's kind of an upside of mask wearing.
Yeah. I realize how often I fake smile, but people can't see it anyway, so all they see are my eyes, and I have kind of resting serial killer face anyway. Like, if I am not...
That's a new one. I've never heard that.
It's resting bitch face times about 110. Like, I should show you my driver's license photo. It is like the lady went, okay, on 3, 1, click. It's just like, you. She's like, well, your eyes are open. I'm like, yeah, I could have like tightened my face up a little bit. I look like a serial killer.
Nice. Yeah.
Ooh, geese.
I was going to say, you're the geese.
Let's just pause and then appreciate the geese for a second. Isn't that nice?
Seriously, was it last night? I opened the door and it's like, it felt like fall. It was so cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, you know, spring has sprung, summer's pretty much here.
Okay.
Spring was about a day.
I don't want to interrupt you, but there is a deer.
Okay.
Right behind Dan. And you can just see, like, if you look at the trees, I'm sorry, listeners, you can't see the deer.
I'll try to take a picture if I see it.
But I swear. See his little head. See him move.
Nope. Give us a like vantage point. Which thing are we looking at?
From Leah's tree.
From Leah's tree, go over to the right.
I don't know which one's Leah's tree.
Leah's tree is that big
one. Oh, okay, that one, okay.
Yeah.
How far between that and the other tree?
It's right in the...
Oh, yep, I see him. Yep. He's on the other side of the... Yep, I got him.
I'm sorry. We see deer quite often from our backyard.
Cool. That's fun.
But it never gets old. kind of like sitting outside on the first nice day of a really long year. It's just really nice to be outside.
Yeah.
I miss the deer. Dang it.
I'm sorry, he'll probably...
He's still there. Yeah, I still see him move around. Oh, now he's in. Feels like he's a little closer. This is great audio entertainment.
Now you're just toying with me. I don't see it.
I promise I'm not. Oh, dear.
Yeah, okay, well, anyway.
Anyway.
I'll show you a picture.
You're going to have to cut a lot out of that, Ryan.
Yeah. Nah, it's all staying. How entertaining.
Because I was looking at you, dude, and I was just like, I knew you were distracted because we're talking about things. And
I'm
just
sorry.
Like, Jennifer's just like squirrel.
Squirrel.
Deer.
And I have the worst vision.
Well, I know. That's why. Why can't I see it if Jennifer saw it?
I know. I'm sorry.
You just need glasses, or is that a bigger...
No, I need glasses. I don't like to have things on my face.
Oh.
And thus, okay. I have like this wrinkle that is because I squint all the time, and I will get Botox before I get glasses.
Oh, wow.
That's how...
Is that just a vanity thing?
I don't know if it's the feel of it. I don't like the feel, and I like to touch my face a lot.
Yeah.
And
it's annoying, yeah, for sure. I hate wearing glasses. Like, yeah. I wore contacts when I first got glasses, just because, but touching your own eye, that's not a great one either.
No, and then you add multiple sclerosis and lack of dexterity. And when I was in my girlfriend Amy's wedding, that's where vanity came in. I wore contacts in her wedding, but other than that.
Yeah. Are you a candidate for LASIK at all?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can squint with the best one. For God's sakes, I saw the deer.
I mean, you saw a deer that Dan can't see, so, you know.
Well, I got a reminder that I have an appointment to go to the eye doctor because I truly can't see. Here's the crap thing, and this is how I'm getting old. I need bifocals.
Ooh.
I'm like, what is that, nearsighted, so I can't see things far away?
Yeah.
But then as I go to read things, I always have to take my glasses off because I can't see them when we're up close.
This is a whole comedy bit that I love. It's my favorite. Brian Regan's one of my favorite comics. Most people don't know about him, but
like, I totally know about him.
Oh, okay.
But
he had a good Netflix, it was a Comedy Central special where he talked about that. He's just like, how can instantly improved vision not be the top of your to-do list? It's just like, I'll see you tomorrow. But then he's talking about that. It's just like he had to get trifocals. And he's like, you know, oh, you can see far, medium, or near. And he goes, I can't even imagine getting used to that. He's just like, is that a bug on my nose? Is that a comet? Oh, the guy, he's so funny. But anyway.
You're still looking for the deer. I look over and you're just like looking past me. Now it's just like, now you're just doing it to spite me.
No, I'm not looking for the deer, I promise.
You can, because if you see it again, it's just like, my luck, the deer would be like right there, but you wouldn't say anything, and like I could reach out and pet it.
And that's interesting, because anyone who is not driving anymore, such as myself, there's that fine line that you walk to not sound like a backseat driver or a nag. I want to say everyone is more nervous right now because of the pandemic. When I ride in the car, I don't drive, and I haven't driven for, 18 years, which is fine, I suppose.
Get you out of helping people with a lot of stuff. Oh, sorry, I can't.
Yeah. But my caregiver was saying something to Dan about how I'm a nervous passenger. She said she's always, like, putting the imaginary brake. And I'm thinking, Jen, honey, I'm just flattening out my hand, and she's taking it as me, like, being nervous. So then as a passenger, you have to be, like, careful that they're not thinking, oh, she's freaking
out
again.
Judging me.
Yeah, it's like, no, I got the multiple sclerosis. Yeah. I want to flatten my hand.
But that's where, with me... You have to use your voice because I'm blind on my right side. So, I mean, it's just
co-pilot for you is probably a huge deal.
Yeah. So it's like, and you know, or she'll, I don't know, because there's this thing, and so she'll do something and she'll point one way. It's like, dude, I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you just, once you remember, you know, then we're good. But yeah, it's just like, I don't see you flattening your hand. And
I remember the first time we took a road trip. I went to Iowa the first time, and we got McDonald's chicken McNuggets. So I'm giving Dan, because he's a driver, I'm being, it's nice to help out.
Yep.
So I'm like, Dan, chicken nugget. And I had to, every time I would have to say chicken nugget, you know, because he can't see me right. Just holding a nugget. And that's really when I became aware of how important it was to give you those verbal cues.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's one thing with like grandma stuff recently. We've driven down to Ann Arbor quite a few times. And I don't know if how much I talked about her on the podcast, like her whole situation and what was really happening.
No, I think if you feel comfortable filling everyone in.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff.
That's subject for a whole...
Whole other podcast, yeah. But basically, like, she had a tumor in her nasal cavity. It is now out. She is sort of in the clear. We had a heart scare, too, where she had an aneurysm in her aorta. So that between your heart and your stomach or whatever, that thing. But it's... We went in to do that appointment, so like basically I had like two giant hills in front of me I could see coming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, the tumor thing and the aneurysm thing, like these are like her most pressing concerns. Let's get these done. Besides moving her, which I've already moved her, and she's settling in nicely, which is a huge weight off of my shoulders. But the tumor thing went into overdrive a week before the surgery was scheduled, and it was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it looked like a xenomorph from Aliens was crawling out of her nose. Like, the tumor inflated with blood and then just pushed out of her face. And it was like the size of a grape was just coming out the bottom of her nose. I have pictures, and they're terrifying because I had to send them to the doctor in Ann Arbor because we were up here. And it was so scary. And, I kept it cool. Like, I've seen some pretty gross stuff just in my job, like being a journalist before. But when it's someone you love, it's like, it was terrifying. And she was handling it fine because, like, it wasn't causing her any pain. It was just weird because she had this basically bulb growing out of her nose that was full of blood and just, it was so gross. And the ER here took a huge chunk off it. And then about 10 minutes later, it was back. This almost the same size.
Oh, wow.
It was so freaky and weird. But then we went down to Ann Arbor, and the doctor was like, okay. I called and then sent him pictures. And then he called back, and they're like, or he called the hospital we were at and said, yeah, send her down right now. Like, we'll just get this done. And this was at noon. And then they ambulanced her down, and I followed. And then... they didn't start the surgery until 9 o'clock that night. So that doctor was, I assume he went home sometime in the middle there, but dude was on shift at noon and then was working on my grandma, started working on her at 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And it was like, I love this man. Like, and not only just like that dedication, but his mannerism, like his bedside, like she had an ear, nose, and throat guy here. That said, oh yeah, like when he did the biopsy and said, oh yeah, it's melanoma in your nasal cavity, which is weird. It's really rare. And he's like, but there's nothing we can do about it. Like, we could try radiation and try chemo, but I can't cut it out. Like, it just can't happen. And we had a second opinion with somebody else here. And they're like, I know somebody that could absolutely do this. They're in Ann Arbor. Let's talk to him. And then that guy referred us to the guy that we actually went to. It was Dr. McLean at U of M Health. Freaking rock star. Holy moly. Like,
wow.
He looked at the scans. He was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can cut that out. And then we went down for visual inspection. He goes, yeah, we can get it out. She'll probably be home later that day. And I was like, what? And then it turned out they kept her for 2 days just because it did go so crazy at, the end there. And she'd lost so much blood just over the course, basically a year worth of a bloody nose. Like, her hemoglobin was down. And so... they gave her a transfusion and stuff. And he's like, I just want to, like, an old lady on the anesthesia stuff. It's like, something weird could happen. She was, like, aphasic for the first day or the first couple hours the next day. So she couldn't pull words that she wanted, which was really weird.
Yeah.
But then it all cleared out, and she seems to be fine now. So.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that'll lead us into our main topic for today that Dan had mentioned, moments of joy. And I thought of this because I've had a lot of bad crap lately, and the world has had a lot of bad stuff lately. And generally in this podcast, we're talking about a disease that's awful. So your guys' trials with that, not, you know, there's positivity in there, but overall it's the topics are sad and, you know, can be a bummer. But I had a good moment the other day where grandma had an aneurysm they saw on a scan. And so we went to the doctor for the consult thing. And this was after the tumor surgery. And we went in and I'm just thinking like, oh man, this is going to be another big surgery for an old lady. Like, I don't like this. And the doctor was like, yeah, it's at about a 2% mortality rate right now per year. And so I'll see you in a year.
Like, wow.
Like, what? Like, yeah, just, yeah, it's good. Like, we could do something, but doing something would be more dangerous than just letting it lay right now. So, wow. See you in a year. And I just went, what?
That's amazing.
I almost did a dance. Like, I was just like, I turned and looked at her, and I'm like, at the same time, like, my brain went, well, then why the heck did we even have to come in? You could have just told us on the phone. But I'm sure it's because he wanted to see us go, oh, heck yeah. Like, it was great. And after that, I went, well, let's go celebrate then. And, like, we didn't go anywhere. We went into the lobby and got a chocolate muffin.
I was going to say something chocolate for grandma.
Yep. A chocolate muffin, and I had a raspberry cookie, and we ate it in the car, and it was great. And we're both just like, all right, this is good. And then we went back to her new place and each had a beer and had a good old chuckle.
Oh, well, that's
good day.
Wow.
It's very good.
It was a good, like, just that one of those moments that, you know, everything can be sucky around you, but you're just elevated for whatever little tiny amount of time. Like, it could be 10 seconds or, you know, an hour or whatever it is. Like, what was the last? Well, we'll get into, like, a big one, I guess, if you guys have, like, one that you can always pull, because I have a few of those. But we could, like, round table it and just go around and, like, so, Jen, do you have a recent or memorable, like, lifetime memorable moment of joy that I kind of like the ones that come out of nowhere? Because then it's like, oh, it's like getting married. It's like, yeah, you knew that was going to happen. You were engaged.
Yeah.
So expected.
Yeah.
I turned 30 a while ago. But I turned 30.
I was
going to
say, like, what, last week?
No. And it wasn't just me. There was a number of my college friends. And we were having 30th birthday parties, depending on the cluster of six of us, when the birthday months were. And so my friend Heather and I had our 30th birthday parties together. Probably the happiest day of my life. My boyfriend at the time proposed to me, and that was the most pure joy I think I've ever. I mean, I can remember what I was wearing, and it was, we had to go to the party. And as a matter of fact, my friend that visited us today, she called the day of the party to wish me a happy 30th birthday. So I'm talking to Priya, and Dan's waiting because he's going to propose.
Did she know?
No, she had no idea.
Priya, why?
And so after I hung up the phone with Priya, Dan proposed, and then we went to Heather and my 30th birthday party. That was probably the most pure joy. That was such an amazing day. Yeah, how about you? What's joy for you?
So, moment of joy for me, I mean, this is where everyone will throw up in their mouth, but it was just, I think it was the day I met you. It's just like, wow. I mean, it was just like, yeah, you just feel like, oh, there's a possibility, because this woman was really cool. What are the odds? And
yeah,
that's sweet.
Well, but I mean, but there was a lot of work on the other end of that moment of joy that I had to, like, figure out who you were. And
what's interesting is I know exactly what I wore when I met you, and I have that sweater that was boy, that was 2002, September of 2002. And I still have that sweater set. I've saved it this entire time. I mean, seriously, like, I am constantly complaining about how much crap I have in my house.
Yeah.
Those two sweaters, they're not crap. They will stay forever. But yeah, like, I met you that day, and I
is that where I'm bad? What were you wearing?
I was wearing, it's a black sweater set with, like, a really, like a around the collar gold trim.
Okay.
Like, that sounds tacky, but it's not. It's, like, a really pretty sweater set. And I felt fierce. I was like, I own this. This is that was the day that I met you.
It's probably part of the initial
part of that. It's like, who's
she felt good about
woman
herself
in that fierce black sweater?
Yeah.
Who's this confident ass lady?
Thank you. But yeah, that was a moment of joy. But I had on my Boston Red Sox hat the day that of my 30th birthday party. We went, I remember, I had my engagement ring, and Amy screamed from inside the house, why do you have a ring? Yeah. Oh, that was good times.
Yeah, nice. But I mean, that was unexpected joy because, I mean, I was just planning. It just sounded like it was an okay event. It sounded like I'd learned something, and then boom, you know. But that, I think that's the thing. Like you said, just the moments that are unexpected that you just, like, you don't see happening. You don't, because like you say, a wedding. You knew that was happening. You knew Christmas. You knew this. And so.
Yeah, and those have their ups and downs anyway. So it's just like the moments of sheer joy or victory was my original. Because the thing that made me think of this originally, besides the grandma stuff, was the other day I was at an intersection in town. I don't do geography about it. But anyway, so this is in high school, and this is like a moment of victory thing that it's so stupid, but at the same time, I laughed so hard, and when I think about it, I kind of get a little bit of that back. So every time it occurs to me, like I'm just like, oh man, that was a good little, stupid little thing, but it made me laugh so hard and made me feel so funny. But so we were at an intersection. We were going to McDonald's, which was on the other side of the intersection. And next to us was a gas station. And my friends were going to go. We're in a convertible. My friends were going to go get McDonald's. And I was like, I don't really want McDonald's. I'm just going to go into the gas station. I'll hop out and get a Mountain Dew. And then I'll just walk over and meet you guys. And they're like, all right, cool. And then so I got out. And I walk into the gas station. I get my Mountain Dew and take a little drink out of it. I was like, yeah, that's good. All right, good stuff. And I walk out and I go to start crossing the street. They're still sitting at the light. And it's just about to turn green, so I ran and jumped into the convertible just as the light turned green, and they took off. And they were like, that was amazing! Like, I wouldn't even planned it. Like, it all worked out perfectly, and, like, I was just like, man, that was just, like, I know it sounds so dumb, but the fact that, like, as I was walking out, they're, like, looking at me like, it's still red! Come on, come on, come on, come on! And so I booked across the thing, shook up my Mountain Dew with... ruined it, but
you have like a pure moment.
Yep, I just had like a that was so fun, because then you get to like run and jump into a convertible, which is on its own kind of a fun experience. It's just like not a lot of people get to do that, because it's like, you know, how many people you actually know that own a convertible and drive around with the top down, and you had just happened to be out of it's like so many things lined up, and just like
stars aligned.
Yeah, it's just because if it was a regular car and I had to open the door, then the light would have been green already, and it wouldn't have been as, like, my ass was in the seat when the light turned green.
That was perfect. You couldn't have had, like, a stunt man do it that well, you know?
Yeah, it would have had to have been rehearsed, and it wasn't. It was just like, we were sitting there for a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to get a Mountain Dew. So I just jumped out of the car, and then it's just like, it all, like, the planets aligned for, like, 1 second or something.
Well, I'd imagine, too, the adrenaline that went with that.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, oh, my God, it's going to turn green. I can get there. I can do that.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, come on, come on, come on, come on. So goofy. But, have you ever had, like, something like that where it's just, like, something you didn't expect that had no real bearing on anything, but you just, it lifted you up to, like, a happy place?
Boy, Ryan, that's a tough question. I'm thinking about every time, you know, you and I, Dan, I'm looking at you. We haven't traveled in over a year, but I think a moment of joy for me is every time they have me strapped in that little tiny seat to get you on the airplane, and they take me off the airplane, and they make me wait, and I wait, and I wait, and then I see my wheelchair roll back, and I'm like... such relief and joy. Like, my chair is not damaged. So that's joy. That makes a trip, because far too often we've had moments where we've had to wait at the airport while they have to find my chair. Oh, or they have to... That is.
Yeah. I mean, just
simple little things that, and I'm sure people feel like if they're in a wheelchair or they need to use a restroom. I mean, anyone, any girl, and I don't know, I'm imagining it isn't exactly the same for men, but anytime if you're at a concert, there's always notoriously long lines to use the ladies' room or to use the handicap bathroom. If you get to the stall and there's not a super long line, it's like moment of joy. I'm gonna just be able to get right back to the movie, right back to the concert. So simple things like that that you need to, or just the fact that we're sitting outside.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
You know,
it's been a long winter and we're outside and it's sunny and it's warm.
And you don't need to get a coat. You don't have to put a coat on to go outside. You know, those are small victories where it's just like, thank you.
Or even small victories like when you're at physical therapy and you do an exercise and you're like, I rocked that. You know, I walked 6 steps or I was able to turn the light on in the bathroom by myself. So those little victories. And I think sometimes it's really easy to focus on the bad stuff, but you just need to celebrate those quick moments of joy.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend who's a teacher down near Detroit. We've been friends forever. We have the same birthday. We went to high school together, so we're like good friends. And her, when she teaches her class, she's telling me she starts the class talking to the kids. It's like, you know, did you have a good moment today? Have you had like a happy place or, you know, moment of joy, that sort of thing? And inevitably some kids will say, nope, I haven't had one yet. Or I haven't had, you know, nope, nothing good has happened today. And she's like, well, sorry, it hasn't happened yet, but keep your eyes open. Like, it'll be there. And it's just like, because you just, like that one, it can just be one tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, you don't expect to win the lottery every day, but, you know, something cool can happen to you. Like, you can run out of a gas station and jump into a converter. Like, you don't know.
Or you
don't
can know. Be sitting recording a podcast and you can see a deer. Not yeah.
Stop it.
Two of us had really good days already.
Sorry, Dan, your time is coming.
Thank you. Yeah. But that's a great point. I think it's just to where we always expect just the most magnificent, huge thing to happen. Yet why is it so easy for us to just become angry when just one little bad thing ruins our day? Why can we not let the getting the pop before the light changes green or the, you know, and it doesn't have to be an engagement or proposal thing. It can be I turn the bathroom light on. I overjoyed. I'm thrilled when I go out in the morning and thank God when caregiver Jen had filled the reservoir in the Keurig and I can just push brew. I don't need to go. I mean, and those are just like small little victories and joys where it's just like, not that I look and say, oh, it's going to be a great day because water was full. But at the same time, why can't you take those moments to say, this is going to be a great day
because the water
was filled. I mean, because, you know, for as much as when we want to say, oh, well, I poured the cereal and we have no milk, and that can just like ruin your day. Why can't you celebrate? I poured the cereal and we had milk and it wasn't spoiled yet.
And that's a good point. I like that, Ryan. Moment of joy.
Yeah.
But those are the moments that you live for. I think those are the things where it's like you always want the big things of winning the lottery or whatever.
Oh, but God, do I? I would be. Oh.
But, you know, if you win the lottery, everyone's going to be your friend.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's just like people you haven't heard from in years, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not going to give you my money, dude.
Yeah.
Although if you won the lottery, you'd
give I would give away so much money. Holy crap. The world would be a fundamentally different place if, like, because I think, like, I buy when they get insanely high, and I think, like, the Mega Millions was, like, $500 million or something fairly recently. And I just, like, I bought a ticket and I thought about it. I was like, gee, if I had that much money, bunny rabbit.
See? Moments of joy.
Okay, it's right there, but it's right in front of my face.
Well, but you got to see.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, yeah, like I would do my best to change the world. Mm-hmm. Like I would also have a ton of fun. Well,
and that would be good. I had a moment of joy this morning because Priya, that we were talking about, she came here and we had brunch, which is just, in my opinion, just a snotty way to say we had breakfast outside.
We had late breakfast.
We had late breakfast. Yeah. But it was delicious, and I love Priya, so it's not snotty. It was just, this is an interesting question, if you don't mind me like stealing this for a second. Priya brought breakfast, and I can do pretty well feeding myself, but it's becoming increasingly difficult, and I'm used to you, Dan, helping me, and I have no problem with that. And Priya is a physical therapist. She has her degree, and she's a dear friend of mine forever. And she said, Jen, do you want some help with breakfast? And I said, no, Priya, that's okay. I've got it. Knowing full well she paid for breakfast. She wanted me to eat, but I wouldn't let Priya help me. So I sat here. And then Dan occasionally would sneak me a bite of food. And it just really struck me as funny because why wouldn't I ask her for her help? Then I thought, well, the dignity or the privacy that I have, it's like I can still feed myself. You know, people do so much for me. I have to ask for help for so much. That for this moment, I'm going to just let Dan, my normal caregiver, help me. So today, I'm watching Ryan set up our equipment to record this podcast. And one thing I love about you, Dan, is you're very persistent. You're very headstrong. And I was just waiting for you to say, hey, Ryan, will you help me? But you didn't ask, which is fine. Eventually you did, but you like kept trying and kept trying. Yeah.
That wasn't all him either. Like that, the equipment was broken.
So. Right. But you know what I mean? Like, do you ever feel, in you being my caregiver, I asked for help too quickly, or anyone living with a disability, you ask too soon for help, or you don't ask for it soon enough? Like, what's that fine line? And like you, is it hard for you to ask for help? And you, Ryan, is it hard for you to ask for help? You're men, so let me inside your head.
Real bad at it, yeah. I have so many things that I should, like, just mainly medical stuff, that I know I should go get fixed, or checked, at least. And I don't, because I'm dumb. But I kind of get what you're saying about she's your friend, and even though she is in the business of caring for people, I can see not wanting to cross that line from your point. It's like, no, I have a caregiver. I need a friend.
Yeah.
Like, I totally understand that.
Yeah. And what about you? I mean, is that hard?
It depends. Like today with Ryan, I mean, just doing the microphone and stuff, maybe things that I don't normally do, I at least want to give it a try, and yeah. And stuff. But like today too, we have friends coming over to get our sofa and to clean it out. You know that I never once offered to help.
That's
knowing a good point. Knowing full well I can't feel my feet really, and my hands don't have a lot of grip in it anyway. The last thing I should be doing is trying to help.
That's one and two for moving a couch.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're just like,
that don't, back.
Those are the things that you just, you know, you can't do. Mm-hmm. And like you feeding yourself, you know that there are things that you can feed, you know, you can do.
Right.
And note that I never offer when I know it's stuff that you're fully capable of doing. I mean, we're eating scrambled eggs today. And the table was really low, so I'm just like, here, let me steal some of your eggs, and then I'll offer you a bite just so it doesn't look so obvious that it's like I'm helping you eat. It's like, here, I'll eat, and then I'm just like, you know, you play those games or do things to like cover it up, you know. Now our secret's out in the podcast, but it's
exclusive.
And that's interesting. I mean, because sometimes I'm fine asking for help, and sometimes you just wonder, do you ask too quickly? Yeah. Or do I, you know, or do you ask to make other people? Because to watch somebody struggling is not, you know, like little kids. I think if Dan and I were parents, we'd be tying everybody's shoes, you know. We wouldn't want to sit and watch kids struggle or to watch you zip a coat, Dan. Sometimes I'm like, here, Jen, just go help him.
Well, like when we're getting ready for MS Action Day, and there's those little MS activist buttons that you have to like clip on or use a little safety pin. I can't do that.
Why haven't we just moved to buttons having magnetic backs?
We have those, and Ryan's, believe it or not, those are challenging because when you have the dexterity issue. Oh, yeah, but see, that's a good idea. People are thinking like you, Ryan. But it is just interesting.
What's that like then? I mean, for you then, somebody who doesn't have, I mean, because you're a caregiver for your grandma, and so it's just like
technically, I've helped her up out of stuff, and you know, but mainly what I'm doing is just making sure other people are taking care of her.
Well, and but then it's just like, at what point do you like let her fend for herself, or is that just where?
Oh, yeah, I mean. Because she's an older lady and she has back problems, like getting up out of chairs. I mean, she walks with a walker.
Yeah.
You know, I stand there and I have the arm ready to, like, grab an armpit and lift up or whatever. Yeah. But for most of the time, it's like, especially because she broke her wrist a while ago, so she's having a lot of, like, grip strength and arm strength issues. And so part of it is, like, yeah, I'll let her go. And then if she starts to struggle, I'm right there. So then I'll just lift, but... I mean, she's 80. She just turned 84. Wow. And as strong as she was, I mean, she was push mowing her lawn at 75.
Wow.
Like, and it was a big, like, it was about the size of this, your guys' lawn. Like, it's a good sized lawn.
Wow.
And maybe even a little bigger because she lived out in the country, kind of.
Okay.
But, like, she was just doing that on her own. And she would hire people to come do it, like, in the middle of summer when it was too hot. But fall, spring stuff, and out there with the push mowing, it's like, what are you doing? You're an old lady. Like, stop. Like, wow. Well, it's got to get done. Like, well, yeah.
Yeah, and that always is the question. I remember when you and I got married, I would fold laundry. I would do that. But then I had a caregiver who could fold it much more quickly and do just, like, store quality folding where it was like, oh my gosh, our laundry is beautiful.
That two-pinch thing?
Yeah. And so she started doing laundry and I stopped. And then I wonder which came first. Did I get weak and stop doing it, or did I stop doing it and get weak?
Yeah.
And so that's just, you know, with you, Dan, you are very... You're good about staying active and staying independent, and you don't ask for help too quickly. I mean, you ask for help, and certainly, like, when things like moving a couch, you'll just say, nah, not my couch to carry. But I think that's interesting. Have you always been that way, or?
As far as not asking for help?
Just knowing when it's appropriate. Or did you feel when you were first diagnosed, like, everything you needed help, or?
When I was first diagnosed, I think I didn't ask for help. It's just to where every time I would ask for help, you feel like that's giving, you know, point to the disease, and the disease is getting the best of me because I had asked for help. But then the more you lived with it, you realize that you can't do everything. You have to pick your battles. Me struggling takes away somebody else's opportunity to help me. To, you know, somebody else can do, and I think, and I had written about that in that article for the MS Focus, that, you know, I had been out shoveling, you know, because I, even though we had a guy that can plow the driveway, I'm just like, I need to at least shovel off the ramp so Jennifer can get out. Well, then I stopped because I got tired, and I'm like, you know, screw it, I'll come out later. Well, then Floyd had come and plowed the driveway, and then I'm sitting in the living room feeling sorry for myself because I gave up and saying, you should have done it, Dan, you're better than this, blah blah blah. And then it's like I hear scrape, you know, Floyd, he'd been out plowing for not very long, and I'm just kind of sitting in the living room, and then all of a sudden I hear scraping and Floyd shoveling the ramp.
Yeah.
And then I'm going out and like, you know, Floyd, you don't have to do this. And he says, I'm just here. I just wanted to help.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and that's what Floyd was doing to help me, because he knows we're both living with MS, and he saw the half shoveled ramp.
Yeah.
Probably knew I had trouble. And so you're just like, don't take away that opportunity for somebody to help you. In the same way that if I was fully able to do things, I would help other people in the same way they're helping me.
Yeah. Well, even at the same point as like being relatively fully able, I guess, like I'll shovel a sidewalk halfway and be like, God, this sucks. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm tired. My back hurts. I'm going to go inside. Like, that's totally understandable.
And you know how important a little break is.
Yeah.
And then you can get back. And that's something, too, that both Dan and I have learned, is that moment you're getting better at it yourself, where if you just stop for a few minutes and then get right back to it, you can get what you're trying to get completed done.
Yeah.
Know the importance of rest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks. I was curious about that, about asking for help.
Yeah. I've never had a huge problem with it. Admitting I can't do something or I don't know how to do it is fine. Like, if I think I can do it, or I think I could at least try, I'll give it my damnedest. But if I know I'm going to mess it up, or if it's something delicate, it's like, okay, someone smarter than me needs to handle this because I want it done right.
Yep. Yeah. Not the three of us. We're just talking about the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of frustration, as we're watching these amateur bakers bake these insanely amazing cakes.
Yeah.
And the number of tears that I've seen people cry,
yeah,
shed just because they can't get the cake made. But then they center themselves,
yeah,
and maybe say a mantra, going back to our last show, and just not that they were listening, but just words of encouragement to like push them through to get, yeah, that.
Well, the best thing about that show is like, I'm not a cooking show person. I don't care about any of them. But I watched that one because they're in a competition, but they're not competing against each other. They're all there and they're all polite, and like when somebody's having a bad time, like other people will just step over and help if they can. It's like, do your own thing, and then, but like, it's not like American reality shows where like everybody's stabbing each other in the back or crap like that. It's like, hey, this, you know, like, that's looking really good, you're gonna be fine, blah blah blah. It's like, it's everybody so supportive. It's like,
that's deep. I never have thought about that. We were talking about yesterday just how everyone is so polite and,
yeah,
friendly and everything. But that makes you're competing with yourself. You're not competing.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you're competing against the other bakers, but you're more like worried about yourself.
You're just trying to do your best in that show. Like, other people maybe, I mean, and it happens all the time in the show, like other people are better than whatever, mm-hmm, baker. But if they're consistent and can carry it to the end without imploding, then, you know, maybe not the best baker, they still may win because, you know, they completed the whole race.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one we watched last night, or yeah, binge the whole day. I mean, really, but it's like,
a good show.
Well, the one, I mean, she was, no, we're just like, but she was star baker like 5-6 times.
Mm-hmm.
But then the final day, just she didn't do well and ended up not being star baker. And you're just like, but that's how it should have been, and that's like competition. That's like even baseball or anything. You could do something, be awesome, or like basketball, but come championship day, I mean, you don't have it, even though you had a better record or something. You didn't win.
Yeah, sometimes the best team loses.
Yeah,
it just happens.
Well, and when you think about like our MS community, we're in a fight against the disease, but we're stronger, we're supporting each other. Like, I don't say, oh, darn you, Dan Digman, you get to take Ocrevus and I have to take Rituxan, or I was on, you know, this. It's like we're cheering on each other and it's very, very British baking show.
Yeah.
Like, we're all battling the disease and we're in it together, but it's our personal challenge. Oh, that was deep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Sugar magic.
And to think it all started with you getting the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's such a stupid thing.
But it's not.
But it hit me at the right time, and it was just so out of the blue and weird. And I love stuff like that, where it's just like, I didn't expect this, and then it happened, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had just as many bad things that are the reverse of that, where it's like, I didn't expect this, it sucked terribly, and I still remember it. And mm-hmm. It was just like, even just little tiny things that, you know, didn't affect my life overall, but were filed away in Ryan's dumb brain to pop up some random Saturday and be like, hey, remember this dumb thing you did, stupid? Yeah, I remember.
That's interesting. I think it's a wonder that we've all survived and we're adults, you know, because kids are dumb.
Yeah, and mean.
Yeah, we're dumb and mean. Although Dan's looking at me like, no, Jennifer, I've always been smart and kind.
Oh, heavens, no. But you grow up. Next time we will talk about an LFT, a look forward to, just the ways to keep you moving forward, because there's a lot of things that we can feel anxiety about and stand in our ways. What can you do to continue to look forward to the next day, the next opportunity?
The last couple years, my depression and anxiety have amplified. And so that's like, there were a couple times in Austin where I'm like, I need something to look forward to, or I'm just not going to be here anymore. And so yeah. lottery ticket was my, oh, this will help. This will get me through the week or whatever. Okay. And then the next week, even if I didn't win, I'd still feel fine because I pushed through.
So. No, well, that's good. And yeah. that's a lesson that I think people with multiple sclerosis need to know. So we don't corner the market on days.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can have a look forward to, just hold on that much longer, and maybe your MS won't be better, but you made it this far.
Yeah.
Just hold on a little bit longer.
That you have such a good track record for making it through all your crappy days. You know, for all the crappy days, you've made through 100% of them.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah, that's really smart.
That's very deep, isn't it?
Man.
That was deep.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. I'm writing that down.
Right. You know, it's like those are the things, and that's what you write about. It's just like, you know, I guess that's like with the three coins, you know, and that's why I'm always like, you know, when I would have cashed in all of those, and I made it through the really tough times.
Yeah.
And so.
That's a good lesson.
Well, that'll do it for us for this time on A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. So until next time, stay in touch and be sure to follow us on our podcast and check us out on your favorite podcast app, or check us out on our blog is A Couple Takes on MS, or on Twitter, the handle is Couple Takes on MS.
If you want to send in an email, a comment, a question to ask Dan, Jen, or myself, or just any other sort of thing to be included in the podcast, my email address is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks. Bye.